Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Everybody say, "God grants me what I request." Everybody didn't say that because you don't believe it. God grants me what I request. I want to talk to you today about larger territory. He says, "Lord, expand my territory," or "stretch me, extend my borders, let me exceed my limits. Expand me, Lord." I don't know about you, but I like to take the scripture and I always put myself in it. If he's talking to one of these men in the Bible, I always put myself in it because I believe every word in this book is for me. Are you live? Will you get with me real quick? Because we're starting a little late and I've got a lot of stuff to cover here. So we'll have, sermon number 4 or 5 here. But listen to me. So as we start, I'm going to start in Genesis 13, what God said to Abraham. But I always put myself in this when I'm reading stuff, okay? You have to do that for yourself. And the Lord said to Hank, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes, Hank. Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Arise and walk in the land, through its length, through its width, for I give it to you." Hank, every place in which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. Lord, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. When I ask God to enlarge my territory, I'm asking Him, "Stretch me, Lord. Stretch me. Expand me. Help me step out of my comfort zone." When I ask God to stretch my territory, now let me just say something as we start. Your territory is not stuff. Your territory is your calling in God. Your territory is what God has designed for you, for your life. Your territory is your purpose. And as you go after your territory, stuff comes. Stuff comes. So I want you to be expecting the stuff, but it's not the stuff that we're going after. It's my place in God. It's what He has for my life. Because when I'm asking Him, when I'm asking Him I keep His word forefront in my life. I build, you know, as you're asking God to increase your territory and to expand you and to stretch you, man, keep God first place in your life. You can excel. You can expand without that. But if you do, when you can gain the whole world and lose your soul and you haven't gained anything. So as I keep the word for, as I expand my territory, what I'm saying is, God, increase my relationship with You. Expand my relationship with You. You know, we as Christians, we'll do about anything. You know, when I talk about having a relationship with God, I'm not talking about a casual little, oh, I love You, Lord. Oh, I know You love me. Oh, I love You. No, I'm talking about an encounter, a relationship with Him. How long has it been since you just sit down? You know, how many of you husbands know that you can casually go by and tell your wife every once in a while, oh, I love you, yeah, yeah, I love you. But how many know every once in a while you just have to get her and you have to look her in the eye and you have to say, I love you. Pam, remind me to do this after all. I love you. You're the most important thing in the world to me. I'm talking about a relationship with your Father where you come face to face with Him and you look Him in the eye and you say, Father! Now, you know, we'd rather do anything than look God in the eye. We'd rather read a book about it. Huh? I mean, we'd rather hear a sermon about it. Huh? And some of you will go out of here today going, oh, good message, Brother Hank, but you won't do it. You see, I can hear about it, I can read about it, but I don't have to do it that way if I just do that. But I have to look Him in the eye. You see, reason we don't like to look Him in the eye is because when we look Him in the eye, a relationship He's able to share with you. When I look Him in the eye, He starts showing me things in me that He would like to change. Now, I'd rather just hear a sermon about that. Go, yeah, give me some goosebumps. No, but if I can look Him in the eye, and if I can listen to His voice, and if I can obey His voice, then something begins to change inside of me. And those chains begin to fall off. It's a relationship. It's a two-way relationship. Father, I love You. And you know what? He don't ever put more on you than you can stand. How many, be honest with me and admit there's probably a whole lot more things in your life that need changing than He's dealing with you about right now. Isn't He wonderful? Huh? Every once in a while I go, just don't take it easy on me, Lord. Don't dump it all at once. So I'm talking about a relationship. Increase me. In other words, what I'm saying is He sent His Spirit here to live on the inside of me. And He says, Hank, I want to expand you on the inside. See, if you don't grow on the inside, then you can't handle growth on the outside. So I started praying, Lord, Your blessings are coming, but would You get me ready for those blessings before they get here? Father, I don't want these blessings to overtake me and me be out here and do wrong and me be out here and cause evil with Your blessings. I want You to prepare me beforehand. Expand me. I want larger territory. I want more responsibility. See, it's easy to say expand my territory when we're just talking about stuff. But to whom much is given, much is required. And so if He expands my territory, then there's more responsibility. And I have more influence. And I have a responsibility to do something with that influence. And my purpose better be to expand the kingdom of God. You with me? He sent His Spirit to live inside of us and reveal Himself to us. Because when He shows us something about Him, we begin to move that direction. And we begin, what Romans says is, we become conformed into His image. That make sense? Well, act like it. So I'm asking him to increase my territory. I'm asking him, I'm saying, stretch me, Lord. Stretch me. Enlarge me inside so then I can handle the enlarged on the outside, the enlargement on the outside. Help me go beyond my limits, Lord. Give me as much information. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you as much information as you can handle. But Jesus, before he left, said he would tell us everything about God if we could handle it. He said, everything I got's yours. It's what the Holy Spirit's coming to do. He's here to tell you everything I got, everything I've got yours. And he said, everything God's got's mine. So I'm telling you again, everything I've got's yours. The Holy Spirit's here to live inside of us. And he'll let me have as much information as I can handle. You with me? So increase my territory, Lord. Stretch me, enlarge me inside so I can handle the outside. Help me get out of my comfort zone. Help me get out of the box. Change me, Lord. You know, every promise and everything that God deals with, it just all goes back to a basic character change, personality change, lifestyle change. Hank, I told God one time, I said, oh, Lord, I want everything you got for me. I want to be all I can be for you. And he said, okay, Hank. But he said, I got to tell you something. You and I are incompatible. And I never change. I said, oh, okay. How many know if there's any changing done, it's got to be you. On your end. How many know that most, if not all of our barriers that exist in our lives are in our minds? In our thinking. That's why Paul said, renew your mind with the word. Because that's where our limits are. That's where our boundaries are. Most of you probably heard this illustration, but I was reading some stuff, and some scientists took some fleas, and they put them in a glass jar. And naturally, you know, the fleas will jump out of the jar, but they put a glass lid on the top of the jar. And those fleas would jump up and hit that glass lid. But what they noticed was, is after a while, those fleas conditioned themselves to not hit the lid. They would jump up, but they would stop just a hair before they hit the lid. And as the scientists watched this, and as this took place, then the scientists removed the lid. And you know, the funny thing was, is the fleas still didn't jump out of the jar. They jumped up just as high to where that lid was. Even though it wasn't there, in their mind it was still there, and they jumped up just that high. And they didn't jump out of the jar. I got to thinking about that. I wonder, sometimes we hit our heads so many times that we're afraid to jump. You know, in the fleas' case, they trained themselves or conditioned themselves to not hit that lid, even though that lid was imaginary. I wonder how many of us fail to be all God wants us to be and to do all God wants us to do because of some imaginary lids. You know, just because it's never been done doesn't mean you can't do it. Huh? Just because you don't see anybody else doing it doesn't mean you can't. Jesus said, if you can believe, Hank, all things are possible to you. If you can believe. Are you with me? I wonder how many of us, when we get to heaven, probably all of us to some degree, but I'm trying to get rid of my lids now. Say, it's about time. I should have done this 40 years ago, you know. But some of you that are 40 years younger than me, you can start and be ahead of the game. But we get to heaven, and God shows us all we had, all we could have had, all he had for us, everything that was there, everything that was possible. He showed us that there wasn't any limits, that our faith could accomplish anything. But we didn't get it simply because we didn't try. You know, it's almost like in the Christian world, if somebody exceeds or somebody excels in something, we kind of think it's evil. We kind of think it's worldly. Let me say something, especially young people. Ambition is not sin. Ambition is not evil. It can be used evil for evil. It can be used wrong. But ambition is good. Jesus said all things are possible to you. And he's put ambition in all of us. I'm excited to see in a few years. We've got some of our kids already been accepted to some colleges. And I'm excited to see in a few years some of our kids that have gone way past where we were in the Lord. I mean, why wouldn't God want a Christian lawyer? Why wouldn't God want a Christian doctor? Why wouldn't God want Christian business people? Ambition's not bad when you keep God first. And he's the one that put it in there. The Bible says the Bible encourages us to go for it. Encourages us. The Bible's life's full of new beginnings and fresh starts and new possibilities. It encourages us to go for the goal. Paul said, press for the mark, press for the prize, go after it. We don't have to let some of these non-existing lids, some of these setbacks of the past. How about maybe the mistakes of the past? Don't raise your hand, but anybody ever make a mistake? Anybody ever missed it? See, we don't have to let those things, but what happens is we get so, because we've tried and we've hit our head on that lid, we're afraid to try again. We use that and we protect ourselves with that. Well, I don't want to get my hopes up too high because I don't want to be too disappointed. And I don't want you to get your hopes up, but you know, maybe God would do this. Man, I say, why don't you go for it? Why don't you just try one more time? Why don't you just see how high you can jump and just jump as high as you can? Give it all you got. Just once and see what happens. Let me tell you something. The risk, when you compare that to all the possibilities God has for you, the risk compared to those possibilities, a bump on the head's well worth the risk. You'll be glad. Just like the flea begins with the capacity to jump out of the jar, we have the capacity to do great things. But because of an experience, because we hit our head on the lid, we're afraid to try. Because of what we've been taught. Or maybe because we've jumped and we've trained ourselves. Don't jump that high because it's painful. We've trained ourselves to believe that our ability and the ability to succeed is limited. You know, our success or our lack of it is a reflection of our attitudes, our beliefs, our thinking. I say products, but actually we are prisoners of our thinking. But we are products of what we think and what we believe. Our lives, how we live, what we have, what we are, what we have, are determined basically by what we believe to be true for us. But the truth is, God's coded our DNA with everything we need to succeed. He's given you territory. He's given you a calling. You have a purpose, and He's put everything in you that you need to accomplish that purpose. That's why the Holy Spirit came, so He could teach us and lead us into all God has for us. That's why He came to live in us, because everything we need is in us. And He wants to bring that stuff to the surface. I determine what happens to me by what I think, or what I accept to be the truth for me. What I've been told, maybe. Past successes or past failures. Mistakes that I've made or victories that I've had. What I accept is truth for me. Well, you can't do that. You'll never be able to do that. Well, if I just had more education, I condition myself not to jump out of the jar. You know, I talked about fleas. I was reading about elephants. How's that from one extreme to the other? And I'm sure there are different ways to train elephants, but this article was talking about how they train. You ever noticed elephants in a circus, which they aren't there anymore, but they go around in a circle, and to condition them to go around in a circle, when those elephants are little babies, they tie a rope around their foot, and they stake it, and that elephant, that little baby elephant, begins to walk around in a circle, and it learns how long that rope is. And it conditions itself to go in a circle, so that even when they take the rope off, the elephant will still work and go around in a circle. But also, they're able to keep these elephants from running away, because from the time they're little, they have that rope on them and they stake it. That those baby elephants learn just how far to go, just how long that rope is. And over a period of growing up from a little baby elephant to when they're grown, they still can stake that stake in the ground. And even though you've got an elephant that weighs 12,000 or 13,000 pounds, and you know it could easily pull that stake out, but it won't, because it's been conditioned. In fact, one time Barnaby, what was the circus? Yeah. They're not, yeah, that's the one. But anyway, one time a part of the circus caught on fire, and one of those elephants was staked. Now, a 12,000-pound elephant can pull a stake out of the ground, but they had to go get that elephant because he went to the end of that rope and he wouldn't go any further. Why? Because he'd been conditioned all his life, that's as far as he could go. Well, we've been conditioned all of our life, whether we like it or not. We've had positive things and we've had negative things. But we've been conditioned by our environment. We've been conditioned by our upbringing. We've been conditioned by our experiences. And we've let life condition us. We're limited by our beliefs. We've been told this, or we've been taught that, or you know you can't do that, or you know you better be careful, you'll get hurt. We've been taught all these things. It won't work. I tried it and it didn't work, and so we don't even try. See, what you believe about yourself, if you believe you can. You can't. I was thinking about this, and I got to move quick here. But when I was little, 10 or 11, I was out at Wildwood Baptist church out here at Bible school, and we was playing baseball, and I was on second base, and I was kind of, you know, doing one of these, you know, how a 10-year-old kid do, and somebody hauled off and threw the ball to me, and I wasn't paying attention, and it hit me in the chest. I had a ball imprint right there for 6 months, man. I mean, hit me, knocked the wind out of me, and so, you know, I never was a big sports player, but I noticed a few years later, I was afraid of the ball. And I'd be in the outfield, they'd have me in the outfield, and I'd be out there and I'd go, oh, please don't hit the ball to me. Please don't hit the ball to me. I was limited. I was conditioned by what I believed. And then all of a sudden I caught that and I went, hold it, I can catch that ball. All these other guys are catching the ball. I can catch it. And pretty soon after a while I found myself out there and I was going, come on, hit me the ball, hit me the ball. I can get it, hit me the ball. What you believe about yourself. And maybe, you know, I'm not saying just believe that you're something great, but you know what? You're serving a king that's pretty great. You're serving a Jesus that can get the job done. And I'm not saying being cocky in your own efforts and your own strength, but I'm saying, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, I can take those things that I've been conditioned to. I can take those things and instead of letting them hold me back, I can use them to excel me. Those things are only true if I believe that they're true. David one time, and I think it's Psalms 142, he said, man, I looked on my right hand and refuge failed me. I looked all around. There wasn't nobody there for me. I looked all around and said, nobody cares about me. That wasn't the truth. All David's mighty men cared about him. People all over Israel cared about David. God cared about David. But David didn't think anybody cared. And so it was true to him. You hear me? Jesus said, if you can believe, everything's possible. He said, man, if you can believe, if you can speak to the mountain or you can speak to the tree and you can tell it to be plucked up and cast into the sea, and if you really believe what you say, it'll happen. Wow. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, you don't have to know. Won't you change that? Say, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but you do. And my faith's in you. And you're going to show me stuff. I can do more by accident when you show me than I can do on purpose. What you believe about yourself, your ability, your capacity to achieve will either limit you or it will excel you. That's why we stay in this Word and renew our mind. That's why it's so important to find out how God really feels about you. That's why it's so important to learn how much God loves you. Because the more knowledge I get of Him, the more set free I get. You know what? I found out God loves the little guy. Man, He loves to take the little guy and make him a giant killer. I mean, He loves to take the little insignificant, the little one that doesn't have much to offer. He loves to take that person and just let them kill a Goliath in their life, man. He likes to take those simple things and confound the wise. I volunteer. We've been conditioned. And because of the things we've been through, the things we've been exposed to, we don't pull the stake out. We're at the end of the road. That's as far as we can go. Because see, some of you were conditioned to something in your childhood. Some bad experience you had, that fear entered your heart when you were in school, when you were a little kid. Because somebody said to you, because you weren't in the in crowd. Because somebody said to you, you'll never amount to nothing. Or somebody said to you, well, maybe you shouldn't go to college, but you could go learn a trade. People said things and did things in your life that have limited you, put a stake in the ground, and all your life you come to the end of that rope and you went, well, this is as far as I can go. Why? Because that's what you believe. Oh, but with Jesus, Lord, would you help me just pull that stake out of the ground? Huh? I might not go be the most famous guy in the world. I might not go be the richest guy in the world. I might not, but that might not be my purpose. It might not be my calling. We're talking a lot about finances and material things, and you know, some people are called, they have a special calling, a unique thing on them to make money to finance the kingdom. You know, that calling is just as real as my calling to be a pastor. So it might not be my calling to have $1 million out here, but it's my calling to be a pastor. Well, but if it's your call, I'm saying this because I'm saying, don't let somebody else's calling mess you up. Because I'm going after my calling, I will live larger. I will live better. I will have more than enough. How many know you can have more than enough and not have $200,000 or $300,000 in the bank? You can still have more than enough. Hear what I'm saying. Because the tendency is after we get going, well, he's blessing Kenny more than he's blessing me, and I must not be as spiritual, and I must not be. Well, no, maybe Kenny's got a different call. Maybe he's got a different purpose than me. I need to get my eyes off of you, and I need to look at me. That's why I need a relationship with my Father, because I need to look him eyeball to eyeball, and I need to say, Father, what's in me? Help me fix the stuff that's wrong. Holy Spirit, please, let us hear it. We've been conditioned to think we can't pull the stake out, and we believe it. We've been told that it's just not available for us. You know, if I just had more education, you know, if I'd just been born in a different family, if I wouldn't have grown up without a daddy, if I'd have had a daddy when I was growing up. I mean, if I was born in a different place under different circumstances, hold it, man, that's all loser's limps. As long as the enemy can get you looking at all that stuff, we all got mistakes. We all got bad things. We all got stuff in our... Are you going to use it to hold you back? Are you going to drive your stake in the ground? Or are you going to look and say, man, I can go further than that? I can go beyond that. And this doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. See, we get old and we just kind of get comfortable and we just kind of, I just want to ride this thing on out, Lord. Huh? That's what Caleb did until he walked up on that mountain. He was 85 years old and he walked up on that mountain and he remembered, oh, that's the mountain God told me was mine. And he goes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, I was 40 when God told me. I'm 85 now, but I can still take that mountain because God said I could. See, somebody listened to me, you go, well, yeah, but I could have had this. I knew I was called to this, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. Oh, why don't you just put all that stuff in the back? Why don't you put all that stuff behind and press forward? If you're still breathing, it's not too late for God to use you big. Well, that didn't go over very good. If you're still breathing, it's not too late for God to use you big. Now, see, reality is, you and I, we have the power, we have the ability, we have everything that we need to succeed, we just don't know it. Real quick, what did Paul pray in Ephesians 1? In Ephesians 1, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the power that He raised Jesus from the dead. Now listen, do you know what He's saying there? He's saying, Hank, I'm praying that God would show you, He'd give you a revelation of Jesus. He'd give you a revelation of what's been done for you. I want you to know my hope for you. I want you to know my, you know, how many of you have kids? You hope for their success. You hope they'll do good. You hope they'll excel. And here's the God of the universe going, Hank, I want you to know my hope for you. My thoughts about you are good thoughts. They're to give you hope and a future. I want you to know how rich you are, what you've inherited. I want you to know that power that's in you that raised you from the dead when you were lost. I want you to know what's available and what's possible for you. Yeah, see, he's getting it. Listen. Listen. You see, you have it. We have it. We just don't know it. But some of us around here are starting to wake up a little bit. Now, I hope some of you are waking up more than me, but I'm waking up a little bit. Huh? Because I'm going after the gold. Huh? I was praying this morning. I said, God, I want you to give me an anointing. Give me an ability to reach people for you. I want you to give me an ability, an anointing so strong that I don't even know what to do with it. I want all you got for me. Whew, I walked through Walmart a couple weeks ago and got a man, 75-year-old man saved. And Tommy, I don't think he's here today, but he's going to come. Huh? I'm telling you, I want that anointing. I walk by somebody, man. I want God. I want that. I want them to look at me and go, hey, what must I do to be saved? Like Paul called me up and said, I've been watching you on TV, but I want to change my life. See, all you have to do is want to. God will make sure it gets done. Well, heck, let me go real quick here. Stretch me, Lord. Lead me. If we're limited, all this, what are some things we can do real quick to change this? Don't tell us the problem if you can't tell us how to fix it. Well, let me just give you a few things real quick. Study success, and you'll be a success. You didn't hear that? Study success, and you'll be a success. When I was in the early 80s, and God spoke to me, and I was teaching people about prosperity, and I'd never made over $200 or $300 a week. Huh? That's the way we preachers do. We tell you how it ought to be. We just don't know how to live it. We tell you about all the things that are available. Just none of them are working in my life. And pretty soon, after a while, we're just listening to this and watching this, and we just think it's another Santa Claus story or Easter Bunny story. God spoke to me and He said, I'm gonna do two things in your life. Because one day I said, Lord, I'm telling people about prosperity and how you bless. And I said, I'm not walking in it. Well, that's all I had to say because the education began. But he said, I'm going to do two things in your life. I'm going to use cars, you're going to sell cars, and I'm going to use real estate. And I said, but God, I don't know anything about either one of them. He said, you don't have to. Will you take me up on the deal? And I said, yes. It was several years before it started happening. But long story short, many of you know my story, but I met a guy on one side of town that wholesaled cars. I met a guy on the other side of town that retailed cars. And I began to get an education. I began to study. I began to hang around people that knew how to sell cars. I began to think about it. And now I still was pastoring. I still was getting people saved every year, every week. But I began to study it. I began to learn what to do. And pretty soon the anointing began to increase. I'd make money when nobody else could make money. I was on a dead-end street back, and I parked a car back in there. I didn't even have a dealer's license. And I parked a car back in my yard, and somebody drove clear down this little one-lane road to get to my house to buy that car. Never saw them before in my life. Before that year was over, I always had 10 or 15 of them sitting out there, and people were just coming to buy them. But study success. When I came back here and God said, okay, it's time now to do some real estate. I said, but I don't know nothing about it. I just barely even knew how to buy me a house. And it took me a lot of years to learn how to do that. And God began to send people to me and began to do that. I'm telling you what, I began to read and I began to study. Back then, all these programs were on TV. You couldn't go on the internet and Google everything. But all these guys had these get-rich-quick things. Now you stay away from get-rich-quick things, because if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. But I began to study some of these programs, and I just began to, I didn't operate them all, I just began to study them and get some knowledge. You hear what I'm saying? He told Joshua, he said, you meditate in his word day and night. What's he saying? You study success and you'll become a success. Huh? You study it, you study prosperity and you'll make your way prosperous. Now I'll get into that in a couple weeks here, because I saw something in that first chapter of Joshua. You might be reading it and see if you see it before I tell you about it. But you know, we were going to build a church in Paragould, and we didn't have any money. We'd been renting a building, and we'd fill up a building, and we'd have to rent another, a bigger building, and we were going to do it. So we finally found a farmer that would sell us 40 acres way out the edge of town on credit. And he said, whenever you get ready to build, I'll give you a deed for that piece of land that you can build on, and you can keep paying me for the rest of it. You know what I did? I didn't know what to do. I went out and sit in the middle of that land in my Bronco, and I began to read Robert Schuller's book on when he built the Crystal Cathedral. And I began to fast, and I began to seek God, and I began to say, God, show me what to do. Show me what to do. And after a while, you know, read some people like Zig Ziglar, Norman Vincent Peale. Read some of these guys. Read positive stuff. Study success. Study positive things. Find the positive things in the world. You'd be surprised how, when you start thinking positive, how this book looks altogether different to you. You'll read it different. Well, Joel Osteen, some of these guys that talk success, some of these guys that talk positive, study some of that stuff. Positive in will result in positive out. Okay, the next thing is just eliminate the negative influences. Just begin, you know, that can be the environment around you. That can be a toxic relationship with somebody. I mean, just, you know, you can't stay around negative all the time and be positive. Are you hearing me? You can't stay around fear all the time and have faith. They're opposites. I had to tell somebody here a while back, they were talking, and man, everything they were talking about, they said, oh, I hope I don't get that flu. It's going around. I hope I don't get it. I wish I had more money. And I finally had to tell them, I said, you know what? I love you. But if you're going to keep talking this way, I can't hang around with you all the time. I gotta, and I'll catch myself during the week. You know, man, you can listen and you can see what's going on, and man, you can listen to the news and you do all that. And I'm telling you what, it'll suck you right down in a vacuum. You know what I do every few days? I just go, oh God, I just gotta be with you. And I spend a half a day or something just reading the word, just studying, just talking to him, just being with him. Huh? Now, I'm not saying ignore the news, ignore everything, but man, you can learn everything they're going to say in 30 minutes. Because for the next 30 hours, they're going to just be getting everybody's opinion, and how do you want to explain what just happened? And the problems of the world aren't going to be solved by electing the right people or getting the right government or getting the right program. The problems of the world are going to be solved when us believers realize that this is all a spiritual mess that we're in, and we start standing up and taking authority over those spirits that are causing these people to kill the kids in the school and in the every place else. Are you hearing me? Stretch my territory, Lord. Negative influence. Negative influence. Listen, you can't stay positive and listen to negative. And if you're believing for something, don't hang around somebody that doesn't believe it. If you're believing faith, don't listen to people preach about that faith isn't there, isn't real. If you're believing for prosperity, don't sit and listen to people that are going. I got a friend that is a great brother in the Lord. Great brother. But he doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. And so a few years back, I began to talk to him about it. And I said, well, you know what? Because we tease each other. He'll tease me about eternal security, and I'll tease him about tongues. And, you know, but I asked him, I said, well, you know, if you just ask God. And he said, Hank, I did. And he said, I sought God, and he said, I fasted, and I listened to teaching, and I read my Bible for 6 months, and I found out that tongues aren't of God. I said, well, who did you listen to? And he began to name the people that he listened to and the people that he studied and the books that he read and all that. They were all people that didn't believe in it. You got the message? You can't listen to somebody who doesn't believe and be a believer. Set some goals. Got to move real quick here. Set some goals. What do you want to accomplish, and what's it going to take to get there? You know, now some of you are more detailed than me. I love to be around Diane. Commend Diane as detailed, boy. And you want a plan. If you need help getting a plan, she'll get you one together. And if you'll do everything, all the steps she says, it'll work. It will. I just have trouble staying focused that long to do all them steps, man. But have a goal. You know, maybe your goal is to get out of debt. Well, then set that goal and say, okay, now what do I need to do to get out of debt? Well, win the lottery. No. What are you going to do to get out of debt? Well, the first thing is I'm going to pull God into my finances, and I'm going to start tithing. And I'm going to give. And I'm going to get Him involved in my finances. And then I'm believing that down here somewhere I'm going to be out of debt. And so what am I going to do? Then it's time for me to change some behavior. I'm going to quit charging stuff that I don't have the money to pay for. I'm going to get these things paid off. So, well, I owe so many things. I know, pick out one. We'll talk about this some more in the future here, near future. But pick out one and pay off one. Keep the minimum going on the other, but pick out one. And when you get that one paid off, take what you were paying on that one and then pick you out another one and start applying it to that. And you'll be surprised how fast God will get you out of debt. It may be a goal of making our marriage strong. Well, then set some goals and start taking some steps. Quit being a donkey and pay attention to her once in a while. Or him. You know, give him a little smoochy once in a while. Huh, ladies? You think that's not important, but we get a little smoochy, man. What do you want? Huh? Matter of fact, if your husband or wife sitting next to you, why don't you get a little smoochy right now? Come on, just get a little smoochy. Come on. Oh, come on. Some of you hadn't done it in so long, you don't remember how. Now say, boy, I forgot what those lips tasted like. Isn't it amazing what it takes to get our attention? Set some goals. Listen, remember something. You're not running a sprint, you're in a marathon. I love what the Bible says about Isaac. It said Isaac began to prosper, and he continued to prosper until he got very prosperous. Huh? Remember, you're in a marathon. This is a life thing. You're progressing as you go. It's a walk with God. It's not a 30-day plan. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's a plan for your life. And when you get out of debt, stay out of debt. When you get your marriage fixed, keep it fixed. Don't keep starting over and over. Remember, run your race. I already said part of this, but run your race. Your calling's not what my calling is. My calling's not what your calling is. My race isn't to have more money than you. Or my race isn't to have as much money as you. My race is to get with my Father and say, Father, what do you have for me? Some of you that have those abilities, He'll do big things. And that's why I'm saying you need to get it square before it starts rolling in. Because if you don't get your giving straightened out before it starts rolling in, I promise you, when it starts rolling in, you won't. So, Brother Hank, how did you learn to tithe? When did you learn? I learned because I started when I didn't have nothing to give. Best way to start. And I never changed my mind. 44 years ago, a week or so ago. It's your race. My success isn't determined on your success. Yours isn't on mine. It doesn't matter if my house is bigger than yours or my car is newer than yours. That has nothing to do with your race. Because they're making those new houses and they're making those new cars every day. As your faith is, so be it. But start somewhere. You with me? I got to go do something difficult. I mean, get out of your comfort zone. Stretch yourself. Stretch your tent pegs out. Comfort isn't progress. Step out and do something so big. Just do something that's difficult. Do something that's just so difficult. If God, if you don't show up, I'll not be able to get this done. He loves that. He says, well, just stay with me. Let me show you something here. See, you think getting out of debt's something that could never happen. Just say, God, I'm making that decision today. Somebody needs to make that decision today. Next year this time, you'll thank me because you'll be out of debt. Make that decision today. It's difficult, Hank. I know. God, I don't know how to do this. There's no way I can do this unless you move, unless you do it. I know a lady that fear had dominated her so much that over the years she got to where she couldn't even hardly leave her house. She was so afraid to even go outside. And she decided to start doing something difficult. And she got her brother to take her, put her in the car, and he drove her to the Galena line. Then he'd drive her to the Arkansas line another day. And he'd take her out and they'd drive and they'd expand. And the last time I heard, this lady was down in the Caribbean somewhere on a trip with some friends of hers. Something that's difficult. I'm afraid to do this. Well, then step out. Say, God, help me. Does that make sense? I didn't spend the time on these I wanted, but just remember one thing too, that setbacks are temporary. They're not final. Huh? See, you might think you failed, but actually you didn't fail. You just learned some way that it wouldn't work. Huh? See, quit beating yourself up for it and say, I don't know how many times I've had to say this and probably will. I said, whoo, God, I won't do that one again. Man, I won't do it that way again. Well, you're learning. That's not a big deal to God. Failure's not a big deal to God. You have to fail before you learn how to succeed. You have to know what's failure before you learn what's success. I just say if you're going to fall, if you're going to fail, fail forward. Huh? Whoo! Thomas Edison, they said, how does it feel to know that you failed 1,000 times making the light bulb? And he said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I just learned 1,000 ways it wouldn't work. And by the way, he didn't invent the light bulb. He just invented the filament that goes in the light bulb. See, you're learning all kinds of things today, aren't you? Because you had a setback somewhere, that's not a final. You say, okay, well, that one didn't work, God. Now show me how to do it right. And you might bump your head again, but the risk is worth it. One thing before I shut here, stop. I wanted you to know that this is something else about the flea. They discovered that the fleas, not only did the fleas limit themselves, but their offsprings were born with the same limitations. Interesting, huh? See, what you do, the level of your success, will affect others. It might be your kids, it might be your friends, it might be those around you, but it'll affect somebody else. So why don't you just jump as high as you can jump? Why don't you just try anyway? Huh? Why don't you just go ahead and jump out of the jar? You got a God big enough to take care of you. Go ahead and pull that tent stake, that peg thing up, man, and take a couple extra steps. Why don't you just push yourself a little bit and say, God, I don't know, I have been points in my life when he was showing me all this, I said to say, God, I don't even know how to start thinking that way. Help me. Help me. And he does. He does. Well, listen. again, your success might not be everybody else's success. Huh? See, I believe somebody listening to me, man, it ain't going to be very long. You're going to have millions to draw from. You're going to be able to do big things for God. Big things for other people. You know, and the truth is, I always wanted to be a millionaire. And I still do. I hadn't made it, but I still do. But listen to this. I might not have large sums of money somewhere, but some of you think I do. I might not have large amounts of money somewhere, but I live like I do. Are you hearing me? See, and maybe your dreams won't be somebody else's dreams and you won't live up to somebody else's expectations, but that's why you get with God. Because see, no matter what's happening in my life, if I'm believing these things I just said and if I'm practicing them, I'm going to live larger. Lord, expand my territory. Everybody bow your head. Lord, I hold the people up before you. God, thank you for putting a love in my heart for these folks. Thank you for loving us all. But Lord, I thank you right now and I ask you to bless them and to bless them big. And I ask you, Father, to expand their territory. I'm asking you to stretch them. I'm asking you to cause some of us to dream again. Some of us to try to jump out of the jar. Some of us to try to expand ourselves, to try to go a little further. And Lord, I'm asking you, keep your hand on us. Keep your hand on us, Father. Holy Spirit, we've got to have you. We've got to have that power in our life. And thank you for rebuking the devourer for them. And right now, in your name, Jesus, I take authority again over all those foul spirits and I say, you get out of their lives. These people belong to God and you'll not have them. You'll not be big in their life because Jesus is big in their life. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you're granting everything we request and give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody stand up. Everybody in here, stand up and pray this prayer with me. Because there's somebody in here that you don't know. If you died right now, you don't know you're saved. Are you listening? You don't know that you're saved. So right where you are, say, Jesus, I want to live for you. I'm asking you to save me. I give you my life. I ask you to do something with it. Save me right now. I need your help. Thank you that you're there with that help. I receive it. Thank you for saving me. And I pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.